All right, here we are, Monday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me see who is in the chat. Robin Aroni is on. Skunk71's on. Black Bart 201 is on. Jules21 Hours is on. Scooter Magruder is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. General Plowman is on. Day Now 59 is on. Mike Griffith's on. Hassle Free TV is on. Snag Dog is on. Keylime 13 is on. Gucci Buckeye is on. Granite 2468 is on. Jenna Fogg is on. Ever Eden is on. Let me see here. Judy Anita's on. Uncle Wally is on. Let me see. Hanslick Donovan is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Blade Runner's on. Clean Sanchez is on. Sheila K is on. Debnew 2011 is on. Mark 1069 is on. Todd Suff is on. Let me see here. K4 VMS is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Levin Carl 11 is on. Those Jesus People is on. Craig 9 Mon is on. Mini Ball is on. Guitar Glenn is on. Let me see. Missed anybody here? Tim L. T-Bird is on. Christopher Arnott is on. Peg McGroin is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Let's hop right into Israel, and then we're going to get to the shooting in Minnesota. That might be all we get to. I don't know. But anyway, just to reiterate where I stand personally on Israel, it's very simple, really. It'd be like if it's your kid and there's a dispute between your kid and another kid, And I'm not at all saying that Israel's our child, so please don't put that in the chat. Oh, Tom is calling Israel our child and all this. I'm not saying any of that. 8 and 8 Dad, want to see you in there in the rant already. Thank you so much. I see Confederate One on. I see Bud Dave is on. A couple more people I see popping up in the chat. But anyway, it'd be like if it's your child. Now, you would list towards believing your child. All three of us in this room, Brent, Aaron, and myself are fathers. So if you're your kid in a dispute, you would favor your kid, correct? You'd favor your kid at the onset.
Yeah.
Everybody agree? Brent's not shaking his hand. I don't know why.
No,
just so you know, everybody's watching right now. All you people like with a Wethy kind of name in there, he's against his own kids. But anyway, and drives an electric vehicle half the time. But anyway, I'm just kidding. But anyway, so you would. If you heard of this dispute, I'm talking about there's no video footage yet. There's no evidence. There's no anything. Your kid tells you their side of the dispute. You would inherently at least lean towards siding with your kid. Would everybody agree? Of course we would. If you're not, you're lying. So, but then when you actually look at the material and you look at how it's all transpired, then you have to make a decision. There's videotape footage. Maybe it's murky. Maybe you don't know every last detail of everything, how it led up to it. Then you can't 100% side with your kid. And then if you find out your kid via videotaped evidence, say it was a physical, you know, a physical altercation, you find out your kid was the one who started it. Would you then still side with your kid? Even after that fight, you're still going to be that kid's father. You're still going to really care about your kids. See, everybody got my dad a kiss shirt that was given to me by my son's girlfriend. But anyway, awesome shirt. But anyway, so you would, right after the dispute, you would go back to siding with your kid. That's exactly where I stand with Iran. I do not agree with their attack at this time on Iran, but I still favor Israel over everybody in that region and over almost every country on the planet for biblical reasons and because they are actually a democracy. However, we need to also look at the biblical implications. Did God always favor Israel? You ever read the Bible? And then, no, so should we blindly follow Israel because we're Christians? No, you in specificity follow Israel. You in specificity back Israel. You don't just follow them blindly. God doesn't, so why would you? And if you look at the split, for a ton of the Old Testament, you have the separation of Israel and Judah. And most of the time, Israel was evil and Judah, and you're talking about 11 tribes versus one. Really 12 because Joseph is split into two, Ephraim and Manasseh. So it's 12 tribes versus one. And almost exclusively, the 12 tribes against the one were named Israel and they were never right. So we're just going to blindly follow Israel because Netanyahu, Aaron, if you can't dig up this list, that list you found that you sent into the show of all of Netanyahu's predictions about the program, just have that holstered for me. It's going to come up here in the next minute. But anyway, Netanyahu is now saying, has said before this conflict, they are within a year, they're saying, he's saying weeks to a year from having a nuclear bomb. He's been saying that since 1990. There it is. There's the evidence. And because you believe that you always have to side with Israel, that you're just going to, even if they're blatantly wrong. So again, I bring up this point. You leave that up, Aaron. So I bring up this point. Do you just blindly follow the United States of America? Then why would you blindly follow Israel? I mean, and for the Christians out there, you don't blindly follow Israel. That's not the command of the Bible. The Bible command is to favor Israel, to think of it as God thinks of it. And when Israel is wrong, God did not spare Israel at all. And in this case, in this, now Israel versus the other Muslim countries in the area, I favor Israel. They're a democracy. They are God's chosen people and God's chosen land. That is for sure. But when those people are acting poorly, I mean, again, Benjamin Netanyahu wants biometric ID and lab-grown meat. He loves it. You just pull it up. Go ahead, pull it up right now. Netanyahu lab-grown meat. Netanyahu biometric ID. Netanyahu pimped and hoard vaccines, pimped and hoard social distancing, pimped and hoard masking, pimped and hoard lockdowns. Okay, so please, again, would you just say the United States is 100% right all the time? What if Biden's the president of the United States? Are we 100% right all the time? What if Clinton is? What if, so when Jimmy Carter was president, we're right 100% of the time, she just blindly follow the administration? No. And it's exactly how it is with Israel. Now, we can all agree to disagree on this and still be fellow conservatives because there are good things about this strike. There are good things about it. Iran is a fake nation. But who made them fake? Us. We're the ones who made them fake. We overthrew their government twice. Overthrew a democratically elected government. Installed the Shah of Iran. Then he got sick. We bring him in to the United States and install then the mullahs. That's all CIAs. And then we hire, by the way, Saddam Hussein. Where did he come from? He's a CIA operative since he was a teenager. Is everybody aware of this stuff? I mean, no, Saddam Hussein is just, he just popped up. No, nobody. Listen, folks. There is an Illuminati. There is a Bilderberg group, which I might get to it. I don't know. Whatever. Maybe I'll get to it. I got Bilderberg third up tonight. The Bilderberg conference going on right now. Chrystia Freeland there. Albert Bourla's there. Strange how that works. But where does Saddam Hussein come from? He's a CIA operative from day one. So he comes up. He's hired by the CIA. Gets installed. He gets installed inside of the Iraqi government. Murders murders the president, so that basically murders the entire administration. He's installed as their leader, then ordered to attack Iran. So he had that long Iraq-Iran war. We promised to pay for that. Credit Alex Jones on all this. We are, and by the way, just prove it. You can't disprove it. You know why you can't disprove it? Anybody guess why you can't disprove it? Because it's absolutely true. This is exactly what goes on. So you blindly follow the United States as we overthrow governments all around the world via color revolutions and assassinations? Do you? Blindly follow because we're right all the time? No. As Christians, you go in and you say, you know what is right, what is wrong? And if I don't know, I'll pray about it and God will lead the way. So Saddam Hussein is ordered to attack Iran. Here we are. Who's attacking Iran right now? It's always attacking Iran. And Iran, of course, come back to Saddam Hussein in just a minute. So you have Iran. And by the way, Osama bin Laden's a CIA operative.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, please, folks, you need to understand all of these things. I mean, it is not the way you want it to be. World War II is nothing of what you think it is. Hitler rose out of the pit of hell and attacked the world. Was Hitler a good guy? No, but either was Winston Churchill who propagated Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler was man of the year twice on Time magazine. And then he didn't get what he was promised, so then he turned. Same thing happened with Saddam Hussein. So Saddam Hussein is ordered to attack Iran. So we have that long Iran-Iraq war that we're supposed to pay for. And then we told him we're not paying for it. So he asked if he could attack Kuwait as payment. So he attacks Kuwait, and what do? Oh, my gosh, he's committing the crime of the century. We ordained it. He said, go right ahead, get your payment through Kuwait. And then that's Desert Storm, remember? So then we go and start, both Desert something, one in the early 90s and the one in 2000. But anyway.
Desert Storm.
Yeah, was it Desert Storm?
I think so.
I don't remember. But anyway, so because you had one and then the other. But anyway, so he attacks Kuwait. And we act like, you know, that's the biggest atrocity in the world. And we go and destroy Saddam Hussein, and Saddam Hussein kick him out of Kuwait, right? So then, of course, he then becomes public enemy number one. And then you have a Mossad CIA operation that attacks the two Twin Towers in New York, brings them down. Strangely, of course, bought these two buildings that were on the verge really of being condemned by the Port Authority. Yeah, because they're full of asbestos. Building one, building two of the World Trade Center, those old buildings. Strangely bought by a Jewish man who, of course, somehow managed not to be at work that day. And then you have the Israeli operatives caught in the van filming the taking down of the trade centers before they were taken down. And then rejoicing when they went down, were actually pulled over and then somehow disappeared back to Israel after all that. After they were rejoicing at it. That's all on film. Because, and again, it's not, am I blaming Israel solely for the Twin Towers? No, because the CIA was involved and knew every single one of the operatives in the United States prior to it happening. So, I mean, please, I mean, then you have a lot of people who know everything that I just said. Everything that I just said. Aaron's like that. He knows everything that I just said and more. So he knows it all. And then you have people like that. And then suddenly, Netanyahu's right. Suddenly here in June 16th of 2025, he's suddenly right? Suddenly. You know about you're all on board with me. You know the Twin Towers didn't just spontaneously combust. They didn't spontaneously just fall to the ground. We know that. It's a demolition. You know that. Building 7 also.
Yep.
And then, but now, suddenly they're right? Because it's a nuclear... it's a nuclear threat. Well, Aaron, can you blow that up for me like you did perfectly the other day? So suddenly, Netanyahu is right. This time he's one of, and you know all these other, this is what blows my mind about people. And that's what makes people very vulnerable to COVID too. Because all of you knew before, all these people, and I'm not talking, I know that most of my crowd is red-pilled, so I'm speaking to the people who are on the fence or are 100% on board with Israel attacking Iran because Iran could get a nuke any day now. So you know the truth about everything leading up to this event, and you know that there's liars involved in the intelligence community, the Illuminati community, the WEF community, the Bilderberg community, who orchestrates all of these things throughout your entire lifetime. And then suddenly, 3 days ago, that all stops and everybody's righteous. Because that's what everybody believed in March of 2020 also. You knew. Everybody knew. Fauci's a devout liar, abortionist demon hack. But yet, suddenly, all the Christians follow him. All of the Christians who are anti-abortion follow the anti-abortion's medical advice and medical protocols. The abortionists who kill 40 million babies a year, all the Christians take the remdesivir, the vaccinations, put on the masks, stand 6 feet apart, and close their churches at the commands of their ideological, political, and theological opponents. But now suddenly Netanyahu is righteous in this attack? Well, in 1992, he said that Iran was 3 years away from a nuclear weapon. 93, he said they were 3 years away. 95, 3 years away. 96, 1 year away. 2003, 2 years away. 2004, 3 years away. 2005, 1 year away. 2006, 1 year away. 2007, 1 year away. 2008, 1 year away. 2009, 1 year away. I sound like I'm singing a song. Aaron, can you do a little drum beat for me? 2010, 1 year away. I'll rotate because there's different, let's do like 1 to 2 years. 2011, 1 to 2 years away. Oh, 2012, get this, Aaron, six to 12 months away.
Wow.
2013, 1 year away. 2021, 1 year away. 2022, weeks to months away. Iran, and by the way, the reason why they started to lower it here is because, and this is why Tulsi Gabbard wasn't invited to the meeting with Netanyahu, because they already were planning this in 2022. When suddenly it became weeks to months away, 2023, months away, 2024, weeks to months away, 2025, days to weeks away, and now he's gone back to a year away. Mm. And then everybody just believes now this attack is righteous? Tom, are you saying they don't have a nuke? I think they already have a nuke. I think they've got about at least 10 atom bombs, Iran. These people aren't dumb. These are the Persians, by the way. They're not even, they don't even have a Muslim heritage. They just happen to be run by the mullahs who have a line of lineage all the way to Muhammad. And guess who put the mullahs in charge? The CIA. They deposed the Shah and put in the mullahs. Why would you do that? Why would you want danger? Why does Netanyahu endlessly overthrow governments for worse governments? He wanted Libya overthrown. So we killed Gaddafi. How's it now? Civil war. And you could name just a bit Somalia. He wanted them overthrown. So we overthrew them. Now they have two civil wars. Well, what's the point? It's all because Netanyahu benefits off of war. The military-industrial complex benefits off of war. These people don't care about people dying and being killed and getting their arms blown off as long as they get a profit and they become celebrities. Yeah, and they gain in power. So let's go to the first one. Nick Sorter tweet. Wow, 9:23, it's the first slide, and that's not a good start. All right, just in, the Trump administration has informed multiple allies in the Middle East that the U.S. will not get involved in the Iran war unless the Iran targets Americans, per Axios. President Trump is standing strong. Keep resisting the pressure. That's correct. Now, leave this up. Now, who right now is in favor of this position? And why would you stop believing them all of a sudden? Tucker Carlson, Steve Bannon, Alex Jones are all in favor of this position, as well as Nick Sorter. And now they're wrong? I mean, I marvel at people who suddenly think the attack's right. And now Tucker's wrong, Bannon's wrong, Alex Jones is wrong. It doesn't mean there aren't good things about the attack. I'll be honest with you. When I was watching, well, really their version of in-house Al Jazeera inside of Iran, and the woman is cackling on and on and on about whatever and using, you know, Arabic language or whatever, and cackling on and on. I mean, I did enjoy the bomb going off right behind her and then closing down the broadcast. That was great, just to stop her annoying voice. And do I think that it's good for Iran to have a nuke? No, but what's happened already? Pakistan says they're in. If Israel uses nukes, Pakistan's using nukes because Pakistan can easily reach Israel with nukes. Pakistan can reach us with nukes. So what does it even matter if Iran has a nuke?
Right.
What does it matter? India has a nuke. China has a nuke. Russia has a nuke. Everybody's got a nuke that can eat. You ever look on a map on how close Russia is to Israel? It's all pretty packed in over there. You know. And by the way, it doesn't matter anyway because there's Russian subs in the Mediterranean and Russian subs in the Atlantic and the Pacific. If we start a nuclear war with Russia, New York is vaporized in 5 minutes. All those idiot leftards who want a nuclear war starting with its genesis being in Ukraine are vaporized in 5 minutes. They're idiots. They're stupid morons. Don't believe them. They're all the people who want this war. And then you'll say, you know what, but Tom, what about the anti-Israel zealots like Ilhan Omar, AOC, Rashida Tlaib, all of them? Well, they're wrong too. It goes back to your kid. Just because somebody is wrong, okay, they're wrong about Israel, doesn't make everything Israel does right. I mean, people can be wrong about the United States, and if we start another war, it doesn't make us right. This is the human equation. That's why you put everything. The only person you're an acolyte for is Jesus. That's it. Because everybody else, including Trump, Trump is making a correct stand here. Okay? He gave Iran 60 days. He was warning them. He knew this attack was coming. He's read in. He knew. He wasn't told 3 days in advance. He was told when he took office, we're attacking sometime in June. So he knew and gave them a 60-day timeline. You know what? Let's get a nuclear deal in place where you're allowing in inspectors and the whole rigmarole. None of it ever works, and everybody develops nukes anyway. But you can do the whole rigmarole. And then Israel will be assuaged. That was Trump's plan. And the mullahs are stupid. Now, again, I'm anti-mullah. I'm anti-Islam. I certainly am not anti-Israel, but I am anti-Islam. I'm not anti the Jewish faith, except it doesn't save. It is the genesis of the Christian faith. And without the Old Testament, the New Testament's invalidated. So they're all in one. So I'm certainly not anti-Jewish. I'm pro-Jewish. I mean, my savior is Jewish. But I am absolutely ardently anti-Islamic and anti-Mullah. But it doesn't mean every last thing that Iran does is wrong. And it doesn't mean that every last thing that Israel does and every last thing the United States does is right. It doesn't make that. You have to operate case by case with specificity. So Trump is doing the right thing here. They had their chance. The Mullahs are idiots. They've always been idiots. I mean, how dumb do you have to be? Let's attack them for a while here. That'll be fun. How dumb do you have to be to constantly put out death to Israel when their number one ally is Big Freaking Brother? I mean, if your Big Brother is like the heavyweight champion of the UFC, if someone's brother is the UFC heavyweight champion, you might not want to pick on that little brother. That's what that, you might want to just leave Israel alone. They just can't do it. It's got this tiny sliver of land, depending on who you talk to. Some people say it's the size of New Jersey. That's all that Israel is. For sure, it's no bigger than that. Some people say Rhode Island. But anyway, so we'll just go with the bigger. So the size of New Jersey, who cares what happens? But that's what makes it so biblical in nature also, which is why you need to favor Israel, not acolyte for Israel, not cultishly follow Israel when you have a bourgeois leftist globalist elitist in charge of Israel, which is Benjamin Netanyahu, who is absolutely the epitome of a neocon. Can we all agree? And then suddenly he's right. And everyone, I agree with it. Yeah, I agree with an anti-nuclear Iran. Yeah, but how are you going to reach that? There's Israel. Yeah, look at the size of Israel. That's the orange. Versus Iran. 90 million people live in Iran. Yeah, good luck conquering that. Iraq worked out real well. Look how small Iraq is versus Iran. It worked out really well, didn't it? I mean, good luck. And as Tucker said, too, and people don't think this. People think, you know what? If we get in, you know, it's over in days. How'd that work out in Iraq? Yeah. Nobody would never. By the way, the Democrats would never let us end a war in days. Because there'd be all sorts of ROEs put in place to make it impossible to win, just like Vietnam and Korea. So we just end up entrenched in these ridiculous 13, 14, 20-year wars where we never win and we never win anything, just like we did in Iraq, where we go trillions of dollars in debt and get nothing. We should have been paying for the Iraqi war using oil. But Iran is stupid too. They're stupid, and they're stupider than Israel, and they're more evil than Israel. It doesn't make Israel right doing this right now because at this time, nothing has happened. And by the way, when you look into, you know, they're like, well, what about Iran sponsored Hamas and 10/7? Well, who created Hamas? The Mossad. Because you always have to have a precursor to violence so that you don't always have to, but you can use a precursor for violence, an ingredient for violence, so that it justifies the violence that you want to actually do yourself. So you need Hamas to stir up trouble so that you can take the action that you want and it appears justifiable then. All right, let's go. Where the heck am I? I got to get organized here. All right, let's go to the next one. Alex Jones video breaking. Netanyahu double crosses Trump. Play for me.
Tomorrow it's New York. I understand America first. I don't understand America dead. That's what these people want. They chant death to America. So we're doing something that is in the service of mankind, of humanity, and it's a battle of good against evil. America should stand with the good. That's what President Trump is doing, and I deeply appreciate his support.
Netanyahu went on ABC News and said, no, we want to kill the Ayatollah. We want regime change. And then now he went directly against Trump, saying he wants peace by both sides, and says no peace deal, no giving up your nuclear program now. We're not negotiating. Israel's prime minister just announced he is not interested in peace talks with Iran, per ABC News. He's also refused to rule out assassinating supreme leader. This comes after news that the Iranian regime is asking to come back to the negotiating table.
He praised President Trump over and over again in this interview. He knows that he needs the United States' support, at least in terms of doing what the U.S. is doing now, which is helping Israel defend itself from those retaliatory attacks from Iran. So it was all couched in a thank you, President Trump. You've been Israel's best friend. But he made it clear that he would like to see more. He didn't come out and directly say it in those ways, but what you heard, what you played right there, I understand America first. I don't understand America dead. He is really speaking to those in the Trump movement, those in the MAGA movement who are adamantly opposed to the United States getting involved in another Middle East conflict. And as you know, Kira, there are some prominent voices, supporters, outside advisors of Donald Trump who are saying, don't get involved. The United States can't be involved. You campaigned against forever wars. People like Tucker Carlson, Steve Bannon, Charlie Kirk. Those are, you know, close supporters of Donald Trump who are saying that they don't think the United States should be involved in this. And Netanyahu, it seemed to me, by using their language, I understand America first, I don't understand America dead, was speaking directly to Donald Trump and to his supporters who are critical of what Israel is doing.
So what, again, and Aaron was talking about it as we were going, Aaron was expressing his, you know, extreme, I don't know what.
Dislike.
Dislike. Yeah. Extreme dislike for Netanyahu. But anyway, because it goes back to the, starting in 1990 to 2025, nuclear threats that any second now, we're going to have Iran. Again, you saw the list. 1 year, 1990, 1 year, they're going to have a nuclear weapon. 1992, 1 year, they're going to have, whatever. So you saw the list. And this is the same thing. I understand make America great, but I understand make America great dead. So Iran's going to make America dead? How? And you go back to like Nayib Bukele said, basically, America is unconquerable. Now, what I'm, except, as he said, except from within the Democratic Party. So we are unconquerable except from within. Doesn't mean we can't be hit by a nuclear weapon. It just means we're unconquerable. You have the oceans on both sides of us, which really makes you almost unconquerable, just so you know. I'm not, again, except from within. We could easily have a Democratic Party administration hand our sovereignty over to the WEF, the Bilderberg Group, or the WHO. But just ostensibly speaking, unconquerable. And Netanyahu, just the pure propaganda, I would rather, I understand make America great, but not make America dead. What is there? Again, let's go through it now. Just like I said with COVID, where are all the bodies? Where are all the bodies from Iran? Now, I understand the Iran-sponsored militant groups like Hamas and Hezbollah, which, by the way, Hamas, at least, was formed by the Mossad. You know, like, Tom, none of this makes any sense. It does if you want conflict for politically expedient reasons. So Netanyahu making that threat is the exact same threats that we have heard since 1990. Folks, that is 35 years of 15 days to flatten the curve. 35 years of, they're a week to a year to 2 years away from a nuclear weapon. Wouldn't you feel stupid, and shouldn't Netanyahu feel stupid when you say that, you know what, any day now there's going to be a nuclear weapon and 35 years has passed and there's never a retraction? That means you are a propagandist. And again, this is made in once. Biometric ID, lab-grown meat, forced vaccinations, green cards, couldn't buy, sell, trade, or travel without a green card inside of Israel. That's who this guy is. And now all suddenly the conservatives believe that he's 100% righteous in the war. And I'm talking about unvaxxed patriots who I still love if we even disagree on Israel. You stood against COVID. You knew never to get vaxxed. You never locked down. You never wore a mask, or you discovered it very quickly that it was all crap. And now suddenly the very purveyors of those ideologies are right. I will never understand why people don't have a skepticism. Well, Slava Ukraine, Russia bad, Ukraine wrong. How do you know that? How do you know in this situation that although Iran is more evil than Israel, that Israel is right specifically to this situation, unless you look into it? Now, again, if unilaterally Iran was lobbing in ICBMs all day long, they're doing about 300 a day right now, into Israel, and we were supporting them to defend themselves, 100% in favor of that. 100% in favor of that. But when Israel goes against, remember Donald Trump told Israel, give me, what did he tell him? He told Iran, here's your 60 days. And when the 60 days elapsed, I'm being overdramatic, but begged Netanyahu, didn't beg him, but beg him, asked him, ardently asked him, give me more time for this negotiation. Basically, Benjamin Netanyahu said absolutely not and just started the attack. Why? And because he wants regime change. He's not concerned about the nuclear threat. The nuclear threat can come from Pakistan and from Russia and from it being snuck into their own country. He's not. He wants another regime change, just like he wanted in Syria. He got it. Now Syria is worse than it was under Assad. He wanted it in Iraq. Now Iraq is worse than when it was under Saddam Hussein. Now he wants it in the final country. He had a list. I believe it's of 8 countries that he wanted overthrown. The last one on the list, the only one who resisted that list of 8 was Donald J. Trump. And the last one on the list, I don't remember what all of them are. They were Libya. They were Syria. They were Iraq. They were Iran. They were Somalia. They were Libya, there was others, and maybe a couple others. And we've done them all for him. For him. What have we gotten? Nothing. Has your taxes gone down? No. Any prices gone down? No. Hyperinflation gone up? Yeah, because we print money to buy the weapons to conduct these wars. But Donald Trump is, you know, no, I'm not, I'm done. This is the final one on the list of 8. And Donald Trump said, no, give me more time to negotiate. He's just attacked anyway. He informed Trump was read in, but did not approve it. He's read in, but did not approve it. Let's go to the next one. Mario Nafal tweet. So breaking, U.S. military prepares for possible intervention in Israel-Iran war. U.S. Secretary of Defense Hegseth has ordered preparations for potential American military involvement in Israel's ongoing operations against Iran. The decision depends on a green light from, and I'll just continue on, the tweet's a little bit longer, from President Trump. CENTCOM Commander General Michael E. Carrilla and other U.S. Central Command office officials are reportedly supporting and supportive. So Michael Carrilla, the CENTCOM commander, is supportive of joining the conflict. How idiotic can you be? We just want to jump right. We're going to do this again. And again, didn't everybody who's now in favor of this war elect Donald Trump so that we would no longer be in any foreign wars? But now, suddenly, this scenario requires us to be involved in it. Suddenly, this scenario is the perfect scenario for all of us to get involved in a war. Not all the other ones. We are against Biden getting involved in any wars, but now, and there's all the same leaders except for Trump. I mean, get that. Everyone get this. Now, get this. Oh, my gosh, freaking 940. But anyway, get this now. So if Biden was wanting to get involved in this, would all the conservatives want to be involved in it? I think you'd all be getting, but since Trump wants to do it, same thing with the big, beautiful bill. Trump wants to add another $2 trillion to the deficit in that one bill. And now suddenly everybody's in favor of the big, beautiful bill because Trump's the one who's spending us into oblivion. No, conservative means it's conservative. That means that you are conservative no matter what, no matter who is president, you are conservative. If it's an, it's even hard to discuss because you're actually saying, as a conservative, I'm going to continue to support a conservative who's not a conservative. And I'm not, listen, Donald Trump is the best conservative president of my lifetime. I'm just saying the big, beautiful bill certainly is not conservative. So would all these Christians and all these conservatives now who are in favor of this war be in favor of it if Joe Biden or Kamala, if she was conducting it? I don't think so. And all of these same neocons that are hidden inside the military, like Carrilla here and other U.S. Central Command officers, are reportedly supportive of joining the conflict. Because for all the conservatives before, no new wars until now, suddenly, the exact same people are stirring up the exact same conflicts, but this time it's a righteous war. Not the exact same people now. Who's changed? Mueller's are the same. Netanyahu's the same. Zelensky, he's the same. Putin's the same. All the same actors doing the exact same. Pakistan's the same. India's the same. On the verge of war just a few weeks ago until Trump settled it with trade with the United States. All the same actors doing the same things, running the same party lines. But now certain Christians and certain conservatives now believe that, you know what? These same people who are always corrupt and always getting us into faulty, fraudulent foreign wars, this one, though, they're telling the truth. So, like, this time Anthony Fauci's right. This time Deborah Birx is right. This time Francis Collins is right. This, you know what? Klaus Schwab is terrible, but suddenly, this time he's right. That's how if you believe that you should lock, stock, and barrel jump into this war, that's how stupid you are. Are reportedly supportive of joining the conflict, but some senior Trump administration officials are pushing back against direct U.S. engagement. We should not be engaged unless our forces are directly attacked by Iran. And then after they are attacked, you better confirm that it was Iran, not the CIA, attacking the United States. Yep. Oh, that would never happen. Really, ask the Kennedy family if that's the case. All right, let's go to the next one. So right out of the Wall Street Journal, the battered Iran signals it wants to de-escalate hostilities with Israel and negotiate. Go to the next one for me, Brent. So, but the interesting thing is how stupid the mullahs are, because they're idiots. See, Netanyahu is evil, but it's super smart. The mullahs are idiots and evil. They're idiots and evil. Netanyahu's evil, but he's super smart. The mullahs, sadly, are the ultimate combination of stupid and evil. So Iran says that the battered Iran signals that they want to negotiate with Israel and the United States, but Iran rules out negotiations with the U.S. until it completes retaliation against Israel, regional diplomat says. So it wants to continue 300 missiles a day. That's how stupid the mullahs are. And then when we're done, we want to negotiate for a peace. That'll work out really well. That's how Zelensky does things. Oh, yes, I want to stop this war, but you'll give me another 5 weeks of attackums and storm shadow missiles. That's how they are. Stupid people. Stupid, evil people. Putin is evil, but he's not stupid. Zelensky, he's a moron and evil. That's how you have to think of the war. You're really going to be like, okay, you have Netanyahu, who is evil, but smart, versus the mullahs, who are evil and stupid. So you're going to go with the smart evil one? Or do you just stay out of it? When you're dealing with two evil forces, you stay out of it. You know, Tom, are you saying that Israel is evil? No, I'm saying that what this attack is not correct. This attack is wrong, and Netanyahu has a history of being evil. Doesn't mean everything he does is evil. Does the United States have a history of being evil? Yes. Does it mean that every last thing that we do is evil? Everyone needs to stop believing in white hats versus black hats. I know it makes life easy. And believe me, I miss my old life. I do. I lived a peaceful life until 2020. And then it was great. Listen, 2019. I believe those evil Muslims took down the World Trade Center. And Aaron was wrong. Come on, Aaron. Demolition. Come on. And then I actually, looked at it and you actually find out. Okay, it's not Slava Ukraine, Russia evil. No, it's not that way. There's a lot more to it, and there's a lot more to this conflict than that. Chief Nerd Video, Bannon and Tucker. Why was Tulsi Gabbard not invited to the Camp David meeting? Play it for me.
Why was Tulsi Gabbard not invited to the Camp David meeting all day?
You know why.
Why Tulsi Gabbard still to the American public has said the last public statement is that the program was not back up and running. And now we have from Beebe by himself on Fox by Brent Baer that the thing was 12 to 13 months away. It wasn't this weekend.
I know.
And this is by his own thing. And we also know that it was a decapitation, as we said on Friday. It wasn't just about the nuclear program. It's a decapitation of total leadership. So this is a total regime change, which, by the way, you may have a plan for regime change. It's fine. But you got to bring the American people along. Let me go back.
By the way, I said that publicly last week. This is the point of this is regime change. I know everyone involved. I know I'm telling the truth. I have no weird motive here at all. I don't hate Israel. I'm not particularly.
Plus, you know the players, and you went
there,
and
you know the players personally,
and you know the Iraq situation.
This isn't a regime change effort, and why not just say that? But you're a Holocaust denier for saying that. Stop. Let's have a rational conversation about what our aims are here, and maybe you can convince me that we need to support a regime change war in Iran. Tell me how that plays out in a country of 90 million people. Have you thought it through? Do you even care? And the answer is no. We have a economic and political and demographic crisis in Europe because of U.S.-backed, Israel-backed
Syria
wars in the Middle East.
Yeah.
That's what's destroyed Europe, where my ancestors came from. And I spent a lot of time there, and I love European culture, which is Christian culture. And it's destroyed that. And shut up, you're not allowed to care. Who's making the rules?
So the director of national intelligence doesn't get invited to the Camp David meeting with Israel. Well, why is that, I wonder? Because she already knew. She already knew that this plan was in place and there was nothing you could do to stop it. Trump, when you have President Trump, If he deals with the debt, the greatest president in the history of the United States of America. You're like, Tom, you've been awfully negative to call him. Listen, because Trump isn't God. I don't worship Trump. So when Trump puts out the big, beautiful bill, which I hate, but the big, beautiful bill has aspects that I like, that's how you deal with humanity. So Aaron deals with me. We're very close friends, he and I. Seriously, we're close friends, even though we're 26 years apart in age. But we're very close friends. So he has to deal with certain aspects of me. It's not like he's like every time I walk in the room, he hears angelic music and harps. Okay, he comes, he knows, I know him, he knows me, and we walk into this podcast room, we come eye to eye, we're about 10 yards apart, we're eye to eye, and I can read him, he's not in a good mood tonight, and or he can read me, he's not in a good mood tonight, so we just kind of keep our distance. That's how you deal with humanity. They're not Jesus, they are not worthy of worship. So you question everything. That's what you do. It's like all these guys, they're scared to death of their wife. Anything their wife says, they're going to do. Because they're scared of the con. No, you don't deal with it. You go, you know what? In this situation, what is truth? You are adherent to the truth, not to a human being. And yes, my opinion, if Trump deals with the debt, if he gets the debt going down, he's got to get it going down. He's the greatest president in history. It doesn't matter about the big, beautiful bill. They have a lot of arguments that they say it's going to lower the debts and deficits. We'll see. But anyway, he will be. But why wasn't Tulsi Gabbard at this meeting? Because Tulsi already knew. My point was, she knew what was going to happen with Israel. That Trump had that 60-day plan. And even if Trump accomplished the 60-day plan, Israel was still going to attack Iran. And they didn't want her at the meeting because this is a pre-planned attack. It's just like this. Everybody has been talking about the military parade, which was a debacle, according to Aaron. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
He said it was not good. It didn't make us look good. Everybody's got different opinions about it, baby. I haven't seen it. I'll be honest, though. I'm all over social media. I haven't seen a good opinion about it. I've seen nothing on it. Really, yeah. Nothing. Nobody's like, oh, my gosh, that was the greatest, most patriotic day of our lives. No, I didn't see squat. Squat. Okay, I'm talking about I follow all the conservative sites. But the military parade, what's the genesis of that? That was paid for by the Biden administration last summer. And everyone's like, oh, Trump's military parade. It was already planned and paid for and designated and the permits were gotten by the Biden administration. See, the world is just way different than people think that it is. Way different. You look at the genesis of, and I meant that with an S on the end of it, of World War II, because there's more of World War I, World War II. Okay, look at it this way. So you have the mullahs, right, that are in charge of Iran right now. The mullahs. I'm leaving these guys up for a reason. I almost want to ask you, why do you suddenly disagree with them if you're for this war? These guys are suddenly wrong, and Benjamin Netanyahu is suddenly right. The neocons are suddenly right, and these two guys are suddenly wrong. But anyway, you go back, you look at World War I. I'll compare it to where we are now. So you go, the mullahs in Iran were put in place. We overthrew the democratically elected government of Iran in 1957, installed a guy in there, didn't like he was getting to be awfully independent-minded, so he needed to be overthrown, and then we installed a monarchy. We had to overthrew the democratically elected president. We didn't like him because he was too democratically elected. He was too democratic-minded, not controllable, had an independent thought. How dare you have an independent thought? And you're like, well, if it's in the United States, in the interest of the United States, we don't want him to have an independent thought. It's not in the interest of the United States. The CIA, which has never been controlled by anybody ever, except for JFK who tried, the CIA is the Gestapo for fascists. The fascists are the mergings of governances and corporatism around the world. That's what they're, not our interest, the corporations that profit politicians and they partner together for mutual profit to our own bankruptcy. So it's never when you hear the CIA is, you know, looking out for Americans. They're not looking out for Americans. They're looking out for bourgeois globalist leftist elitist, some of which are American citizens, some of which are not. Those are the interests that the CIA is actually defending. So when you think, well, the CIA overthrew them because it was in the interest of the United States. No, it was in the interest of globalist leftist bourgeois elitist, that some of which are Americans, all for mutual profit. I don't have time to deep dive too far into that. But anyway, so they overthrew that government, installed a monarchy. That's really American, isn't it? A monarchy?
Yeah.
Let's have the Shah of Iran go in. doesn't like him because he started to have independent thought, so they overthrew him and installed the mullahs. The mullahs are a direct lineage of Muhammad, not related at all to the Persians. Not at all. Have you ever seen the difference? You can call me a racist all you want. You know what? There's a difference. We have three white men in the room, and all three of us look very different. Very different. Aaron's getting skinny now, but Brent's the only skinny one in here. But we're all white, so we just look different. There's a big difference between how Arabs look and how Persians look. Very different. Just the way that it is. It doesn't mean I'm saying one's better than the other. I'm just saying it's very different. So it's a very odd thing to have descendants of Muhammad, which makes them all look alike. Credit on Alex Jones to Alex Jones for all this. They all look alike. They're governing the Persians. It's just like World War I, where you had the chancellor, I don't remember his title then, of Germany or Austria-Hungary, is a cousin of the king of England.
And Russia.
And Russia, yeah. And Russia's, I don't know what they called him there.
Czar. Yep.
He all three of them are cousins, and they look like freaking twins. And you think that the war, and none of them, Aaron, how many of them died in the war? Of disease, of mustard gas,
nope.
Had their limbs blown off. No, they don't care about that. Remember, it's old men, this is warfare, old men who know each other having young men fight each other who don't know each other. That's war, to the profit of the old men. And I just left these two pictures up because why are they suddenly wrong? They've been right all the time. Now Tucker and Bannon and Alex Jones are completely wrong. And now Netanyahu's right. And all before, I mean, if it was back in the summer of 2024 right now, everyone would have been attacking Netanyahu. And now suddenly Netanyahu's right because he's going to take away the nuclear abilities of Iran that they don't have. Or if they do have it, they've already have it and they're not stopping it. All right, here's, thank you, Aaron. There you go. That's just conducting the war. They're fighting each other. You believe that? No. They were having peasants fighting each other for their own personal enrichment. For the love of money is the root of all evil. That's the reality of the world. Stop believing in white hats versus black hats, John Wayne movie. I like watching them too. It's relaxing, but it's not real.
You got to guess which one is which now. You know what I mean? No.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. But you got very much related.
Yeah.
The two on the left, which is England and Germany, I think, Austria-Hungary.
Yep.
Those are those two for sure. I don't know which one's which, but
first one is England.
They look like freaking twins.
Yeah, they do.
Twins. So please, I mean, you need to understand the real world. You have a bourgeois globalist leftist elitist. Many of you call it an Illuminati that kind of control the world. That's the facts. They're meeting right now at Bilderberg. And if they can't meet there, they're going to meet at Davos. If they can't meet there, they're going to meet at the climate summit in Glasgow. All climate about, all you know, climate mitigation is about, which is ridiculous. There's no way man can mitigate the climate. Again, we can create storms. We're not going to change this world. You're not going to destroy the world. Only one can do that, the one who created it. And you just need the word of the book of Revelation. But, that, you know, climate change is the same as transgenderism. It's the same as COVID and the pandemic. It's a vehicle to usher in totalitarianism. All right, let's go to this one. AF post. Trump takes aim at Tucker Carlson. Play for me.
I don't know what Tucker Carlson is saying. Let him go get a television network and say it so that people listen.
And quickly, have you spoken to Zelensky before your bylaws?
Yeah, a lot of them.
Japan?
A lot of them.
Yeah. What happened?
Japanese, sir.
Wow.
So I just said a minute ago that he's going to be, if he takes care of the day, he's the greatest president of all time. If he doesn't take care of the night, he's still the greatest president of my lifetime. I still agree with that. But what he's just said there is asinine. Absolutely asinine. Tucker Carlson has more people watching him now than he did when he was on TV. Problem with Trump is that Trump's 78, well, I think he just turned 79. So he turned 79 and he still believes TV has power. Aaron doesn't watch network TV. I don't even, and Aaron's had influence on me. I don't watch network TV anymore. I don't watch it. Yeah. It's cut off. I don't even, all I have is internet now. And he believes that for somebody to have validity and credibility, they need to have a TV show. Kids, I'm telling you right now, my kids are 24 and 26. the generation that's just beneath them. I'm talking about the 16, 17, 18-year-olds right now. Brent's kids who are little right now. How old are your kids?
5 and 3.
5 and 3 will have no knowledge of network TV. Yeah. None. By the time that they are 16, 17, 18 years old, they will have no knowledge of network TV. And Donald Trump's saying Tucker Carlson has no credibility because he doesn't have a TV show. Millions. Alex Jones has no credibility. Alex Jones has hundreds of millions of views per week, per day. Mm-hmm. Tens of millions per day. Maybe hundreds of millions per day. I don't know, but hundreds of millions per week for sure. It doesn't even compare. Joe Rogan has far more views than any network outside of maybe the hottest show on Fox. He has more views for sure even than that, but it's comparable maybe with the hottest show on Fox. And the hottest show on Fox of the last generation was who? Tucker Carlson, until they fired him for no reason. For still an unrevealed reason. All right, so that takes care of Israel. All right, we got a little bit of time here. So let's go to the shooting in Minnesota, which if you believe it is, as it's being stated, again, I've got an amusement park right behind the church building to sell you, and it's only for $4 billion, if you believe it. All right, let's launch into this. Gunther Eagleman video breaking. Law enforcement now claim there's no manifesto for the shooter in Minnesota. Play for me.
That came from initially.
Can you identify the potential motive here? It has been widely reported that the list, his hit list, contained names of people who are abortion rights supporters. And also, can you please release the names of the two other targeted victims who were fortunate to get away?
As I said, with respect to the other two potential victims, I think it's up to them whether they want to publicly identify themselves. As I said, it wouldn't surprise me if they do. They're elected officials, but that's their right. Obviously, they may have families and children and privacy interests that they need to sort through. So I'll let them do that. With respect to the potential motive, let me say this. There's been a lot of press coverage and speculation and discussion of a manifesto. I've seen nothing like a Unabomber-style manifesto in his writings. He had many, many notebooks full of plans. Lists of names, surveillance, efforts that he took to surveil and locate the home addresses and family members' relationships with these elected officials. But I have not seen anything involving some sort of political screed or manifesto that would clearly identify what motivated him. Obviously, his primary motive was to go out and murder people. Now, they were all elected officials. They were all Democrats. Beyond that, I think it's just way too speculative for anyone that's reviewed these materials to know and to say what was motivating him in terms of ideology or specific issues. There's a lot of
abortion rights supporters.
There were some abortion rights supporters, I believe, on the list. But again, there was dozens and dozens and dozens of names on, you know, hundreds of pages of documents that were recovered with his writings on them.
Did he confess and give more details after he was apprehended last night?
I'm not going to comment on that. At this time.
Okay, they're saying there's no manifesto, but there's tons and tons of notebooks, and I'm sure they're going to release those, right? it was just like people like John Brennan, who testified about the Steele dossier. He says, I've never read the Steele dossier. Maybe it was James Clapper, don't remember which. He said, I've never read the Steele dossier, but what he did read was the dossier written by Steele. But I've never read the Steele dossier. That's what they do. I don't believe in CRT. I believe in TRC. I don't believe in ESG, environmental social governance, but I do believe in GES. That's the game that they're all playing. This is the FBI. They cannot be trusted, even with Bongino and Cash Patel in charge. And being Bongino and Cash Patel have not performed great. Let's all be honest. They may pull it out, and I love them both, but as of yet, not great. Aaron, I'm just checking in for the weekly check.
Yeah.
Epstein flight log been released yet?
No, not
okay,
yet.
Okay. No. Just checking. I mean, all I want is a flight log. That doesn't have any victims on it. So, I mean, and if they were, they'd be easily redacted. So
can't do it.
Just
can't
looking
it.
For the flight log. Dick Durbin has it. Tricky, dicky little Durbin. He's got it. I mean, so it hasn't been released. Marshall Blackburn's been trying to get it released for 5 years, and we can't get it released. I'm just curious why. Now we got Patel and Bongino in there. I'm just wondering where it is. So anyway, that's the same FBI talking right there. And he doesn't have a manifesto. And again, not to tie this back to Israel, but are you going to believe them? I'm not believing them, but you believe in Netanyahu. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I hope everybody gets this. Doesn't mean Netanyahu's not right about some things. It doesn't mean that the FBI doesn't do some good things, although not lately. Kyle Becker tweet. Just in, criminal charges have been unsealed against the alleged Minnesota lawmaker, Killer Vance Bolter. The Hennepin County, so this is what everybody knows, there's two entities filing charges against that. Two entities have filed charges against Vance Bolter. And that is Hennepin County, local police agency, local police agency in Minnesota. And so we'll just say Minnesota has pressed charges against them, and the federal government has pressed charges against them, which has now brought in the death penalty as a possibility. So anyway, Hennepin County Attorney's Office charged Bolter with two counts of intentional second-degree murder, not premeditated. Not premeditated.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. How is
See, I can't wrap my head around it.
Okay, no, like, I don't either, Brent. Okay. Oh, this is Keith Ellison's outfit. This is Keith Ellison is the state attorney general.
Oh, that makes sense.
Wife beater.
Yeah.
But anyway, and two counts of attempted murder, not premeditated. The guy, I'll be honest with you, folks. I read this and I typed up the entire, I copied the entire tweet by Kyle Becker. Kyle Becker's an awesome source. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. I didn't catch that, not premeditated. What idiot. Okay, this guy goes and outfits a police car. Outfits a fake police car, gets a fake police uniform with a bulletproof vest, with a taser, gun belt, masks, goes from one house of an elected official to another, and it's not premeditated. I'll tell you why they're putting not premeditated, because they're trying to frame this as a MAGA attack. That's why they're doing it. If they frame it they're framing it as not premeditated because they want it to appear to be a random act of MAGA violence. If they actually put it down as premeditated, it's going to appear as it truly is, which is a false flag put out by the globalist left Democratic Party. So premeditated, this is, remember, Bolter reportedly wrote a manifesto that amounts to an alleged list of his targets that the FBI is not calling a manifesto, even though it's a list of targets. Police and numerous notebooks. Police arrested Bolter Sunday night in Sibley County. Unbelievably, the county's attorney's office has requested bail at $5 million. That's really low for somebody who gunned down one political official, tried to murder four other people, two of which were political officials, after the suspect allegedly killed two Democratic lawmakers. The county attorney is Mary Moriarty. Now, who's the one that she put out these charges? Oh, a Soros-backed prosecutor.
Oh.
She aided and abetted Tesla's terrorism by letting state employee Dylan Bryant off the hook with no charges after he allegedly vandalized Tesla's on surveillance videos. Just to let you know who is actually putting out these charges. Now, I want to eliminate all confusion about what exactly happened in this event, so to speak, in this scenario. So let's go line by line here. It won't take long. We're just going to go one. Now, I got all this information is directly printed off of the FBI's probable cause affidavit. That's what you call a charging document. That's what you call capias, wherever you're from. This is actually what they're using to charge Vance Bolter word for word. All right, let's go to the first one for me. Champlin, Minnesota, attempted murder of State Senator John Hoffman. The FBI is not calling it not premeditated. They're calling it premeditated murder and bringing in the death penalty as a possible consequence. In the early morning hours of June 14, 2025, Bolter drove in a black SUV equipped with law enforcement-style emergency lights to the home of Minnesota State Senator John Hoffman in Champlin, Minnesota. Video footage from Senator Hoffman's home depicted Bolter approaching the front door dressed to impersonate a law enforcement officer, wearing a black tactical vest and holding a flashlight. He wore a flesh-colored mask covering his entire head. Go to the next one for me. There it is. That's him right there. If someone comes to your door looking like that, don't answer the door. As a matter of fact, you can pretty much open fire. But anyway, as shown in the footage and as described later by multiple members of the Hoffman family, Bolter knocked on the door. He shouted repeatedly, "This is the police. Open the door." In response to Bolter shouting, one or both of Senator and Mrs. Hoffman answered the door. According to a statement later provided to law enforcement by Mrs. Hoffman, Bolter said there had been a shooting reported inside. Go to the next one for me. The house, and he asked whether the Hoffmans had any guns, Remember, this is the FBI's probable cause affidavit that I'm directly reading off of. Senator Hoffman responded that there were, but that all firearms were locked away. According to Mrs. Hoffman, at some point in the exchange, she realized that Bolter, who had been shining a flashlight toward the Hoffmans, impairing their view of Bolter, was wearing a mask. They had opened the door and were conversing with him in that mask. I don't know about that. But anyway, upon realizing this, one or both, go next one for me, of the Hoffmans told Bolter that Bolter was not a real police officer. Bolter responded by saying something like, look, this is a robbery. So now he's transitioned from, I'm a cop, I'm a cop, I'm a cop, to I am now conducting a home invasion robbery. Mrs. Hoffman reported that Senator Hoffman tried to push Bolter backward through the front door, at which point Bolter shot Senator Hoffman repeatedly. Mrs. Hoffman attempted to shut Bolter outside the home by shutting the door on him, but Bolter then shot Mrs. Hoffman repeatedly. At approximately 2:06 a.m., Senator Hoffman's daughter called 911 to report that her parents had been shot. Law enforcement responded and provided medical aid to Senator and Mrs. Hoffman, who were transported to a local hospital with multiple, go to the next one for me, gunshot wounds. Although they suffered critical gunshot wounds, Senator Hoffman and Mrs. Hoffman were stabilized somehow. Maple Grove, Minnesota, home of Minnesota public official number one. Now, they're keeping that person confidential so that nobody knows the next home that Bolter went to. So we already have one public official, state senator, shot and his wife shot, not murdered, but shot. After repeatedly shooting the Hoffmans, Bolter traveled to the home of another Minnesota elected official, public official number one in Maple Grove, Minnesota. Go to the next one for me. Video footage from surveillance cameras at public official number one's home showed Bolter repeatedly ringing the home's doorbell at approximately 2:24. Bolter wore a black tactical vest wearing a badge resembling those worn by law enforcement. While ringing the doorbell, Bolter loudly said, this is the police. Open the door. This is the police. We have a warrant. He repeated the command several times. There he is at their home. Go to the next one for me. Public official number one and her family were not at home and did not answer the door. Bolter left the residence. New Hope, Minnesota, home of public official number two. Now he goes to the third home. Later that night, local law enforcement in New Hope, Minnesota, learned of the shooting at Senator Hoffman's home and dispatched an officer to the, go to the next one for me, to the New Hope home of another Minnesota elected official, public official number two, obviously keeping this public official's identity and address confidential, to conduct a safety check. At approximately 2:36 a.m., an officer encountered a man now believed to have been Bolter sitting in the driver's side seat of a black SUV parked down the street from public official number two's home. The officer believed that the SUV, which resembled a squad car and was equipped with a police-style light bar, was in fact a law enforcement officer providing protection for public official number two. Go to the next one for me. The officer reported that the individual sitting in the black SUV, which was Vance Bolter, was a bald white male still wearing his goofy mask, staring straight ahead. Now, the officer, I mean, I really don't want to jump any cop's case on this, but oh, I'll go to the next line. The officer tried to speak with that man, but he continued staring straight ahead and did not respond. Okay, no cop's ever going to do that. You need to now treat that very differently. Yeah. Okay, you have a guy in there wearing a bald mask. His tag of his vehicle, you should have scooted back and run his tag. What does tag say? His back tag said police. Folks, that never happens. Okay, it's either what's called a confidential tag, or it'll be a colored like orange or yellow tag on it. Okay, it's not going to say, your tag is not going to say police.
Clue number one.
Okay, so the guy's not talking to you. He's staring straight ahead. Scoot your police car back and run his tag. Don't just let him go. No cop doesn't respond to another cop. I've never, 25 straight years of law enforcement, I never pulled up to a fellow cop and sitting there going, hey. And the guy never looks at me. Hey, certainly is not this is not the fault of that officer, but I'm like, come on. Okay. Let's think a little outside the box here. Okay. The officer drove the rest of the, so the officer just drives on. The officer drove the rest of the distance to the public official number two's residence, saw no signs of distress, and waited there until additional law enforcement officers joined her. Never said a word about that black SUV where the cop didn't respond to her. Okay, very strange. Not on her part. She just blew it. Okay, this cop blew it on this one. Okay, blew it. It's not her fault. None of what happens is her fault, but she just blew it on this one. That should have been very suspicious. By the time they did, the dark SUV had left the area. Go to the next one for me. All right, now we're in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. The murder of Minnesota State Representative Melissa Horton and her husband. Around 3:30 a.m., local law enforcement, having learned of the shooting at Senator Hoffman's home in Champlin, went to the home of Minnesota State Representative Melissa Horton in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, to conduct a safety check. Upon arrival, law enforcement saw a black Ford Explorer SUV, the same one with the same police tag, parked outside the home. The black SUV resembled a squad car and was equipped with police-style lights. Those lights were flashing. Go to the next one. The SUV's license plate had been replaced with a fake police license plate. Okay, not replaced since the load I described to you before. This is what was been on the whole time. There's the image from law enforcement footage upon the arrival at the Hortman household. Go to the next one for me. So that's the tag, by the way. Okay, folks, I mean, you can even see where it's been cut.
Legit.
It wasn't even well cut. I mean, you gotta.
A piece of paper.
Yeah, I mean, it was. It's probably plastic, like etched out with like crappy scissors. But anyway, law enforcement arriving at Representative Hortman's home saw a Belter dressed in dark color standing near the front door, facing the house. Go to the next one for me. That's him standing right there with his flashlight. So the original story was that he had already shot them, came out, and was then in a shooting with law enforcement. It's not what happened. What happened was, is they confronted him. He shot his way into the house. And that, from what I've read from the FBI report, law enforcement never shot around at him. He started shooting in the house, went in the house, shot and killed the congresswoman, their like speaker of their house, her husband, and mortally wounded their dog. So there is the image of him outside of the house. All right, go to the next one for me. So then, moments after their arrival on scene, Belter fired several gunshots into the house as he moved forward. The cops never shot him. Entering the Hortman's, I'm not saying they should have, by the way, at that point, because the gunfire was going in another direction. Entering the Hortman's home, and plus they might have been thinking this was a cop. In dash cam footage from the scene, moments after Belter fired those shots as he moved into the house, a second set of gunshots can be heard at the same time. So he shot his way into the house and then shot Horton, her husband, and their dog. Several flashes appear in the entryway windows. About the same time, officers move forward to the home's front doorway where they saw Mr. Horton lying on the ground. Law enforcement approached the fallen Mr. Horton, who had been struck by multiple gunshots, to provide medical assistance. Go to the next one for me. When officers entered the house, they found Representative Horton suffering from multiple gunshot wounds. Officers also found inside the home the Horton family dog gravely injured, which they ended up having to put the dog down. Representatives and Mr. Horton died from their injuries. Belter fled the Horton's home, leaving behind Belter's 2015 Ford Explorer SUV that was parked outside the house. After obtaining a warrant, officers searched the vehicle. I know from my training and experience that Ford did not manufacture 2015 Explorers. I don't know what this sentence means. Aaron, see if I'm missing something. Brent, see if I'm missing something. Because I don't want to call it OCD, but my critical nature, I just don't know what this sentence means. I know from my training experience that Ford did not manufacture 2015 Explorers in the state of Minnesota.
That doesn't make any sense.
Does that make any sense to you guys? I don't know what he's talking about.
What does training have to do with a car?
No, it's training experience. He may have some expertise in being able to figure out what a car is or when it was manufactured, but why would you be worried about whether or not a 2015 Ford Explorer was manufactured inside the state of Minnesota?
Yeah, you can get it from Michigan.
Couldn't figure out that the police tag was not suspicious.
Well, yeah, I know, but I don't get that.
But
sense.
It could come from a different state, to your point.
Yeah, I don't. Why? So who cares? Why does it matter whether it was manufactured? You're like, Tom, move on. It's hard for me to move on with something that makes no sense. But anyway, all right, line 30. All right, so officers found evidence tying Belter to the SUV, including a bill for a storage unit with Belter's name. Now, let me just go over this real quick, as well as the other evidence. Officers also found license plates from the SUV Belter drove that night, Public records show the SUV is registered to Bolt. Now, if this was like somebody really trying to pull it off, would any of this be there? No. I mean, this guy allegedly, that people are like, they give him bona fides, like he, bona fides, they give him these bona fide, well, he owns, you know, tactical security company. Okay. So, I mean, why would, if you were actually trying to get away with this, you wouldn't cover your trail better than this? Go to the next one for me. Officers also found approximately 5 firearms in the SUV, including semi-automatic assault-style rifles, as well as a large quantity of ammunition organized into loaded magazines. They also found a medical kit containing wound treatment supplies, several eye masks of the kind that might be worn while you're sleeping. Go to the next one for me. From the SUV, officers recovered several notebooks that, don't worry, Aaron, they're not a manifesto.
Oh, of course. According
to the FBI, so yeah. we're never going to see them because it's an ongoing investigation. Full of handwritten notes listed among the pages of those notebooks were the names of more than 45 Minnesota state and federal public officials, including Representative Hortman, whose home address was written next to her name. Go to the next one for me. So one of those notebooks contained lists of internet-based people searches, engines, including such and such and such and such. I know from my training experience and the training, which is very common to write in a probable cause affidavit, by the way, a law enforcement officer saying, referencing their training experience, and the training and experience of other officers and agents involved in this investigation, that these website aggregate data from various online and offline sources to provide querying user details about the searched for person, such as home address, phone numbers, information about family members. Go to the next one for me. There are the pictures of some of the notebook, but Aaron, don't worry.
Yes.
Not a manifesto.
No, of course not.
So we're never going to see it because it's an ongoing investigation. Go to the next one for me. So in addition, officers found Garmin GPS. This guy's really covering, doing a great job covering his tracks. Garmin GPS navigation Garmin GPS navigation device in the SUV, which is, talk about outdated. A Garmin? It's all on your freaking phone. How do you have a Garmin? But anyway, that you're going to leave there for the cops to trace.
Get a burner phone.
It doesn't have your phone, right. You can have any phone. This guy wants to be caught because... as his roommate has claimed, he's a devout Trump supporter. Yeah, if you believe that, you've lost your mind. This is all a false flag because what they need is a Trump supporter to go around executing people. That's what they need so they can honestly say that we're the violent ones in comparison to all the violence that we've seen over the last 5 days all around the country with their No Kings protests and all their other protests. The device's trip history included, of course, the addresses of Representative Hortman, the official number one, Senator Hoffman's home in Champlin. The trip history also included the home address for at least 2 more state officials. Go to the next one for me. Upon searching the surrounding area, law enforcement found components of a disassembled Beretta. He's really trying to get away from it, get away with it, isn't he? Just throws the gun right where they're going to find it. I mean, folks, it wouldn't be too hard to at least hide a gun for a day.
Yeah.
He hid it for 12 minutes. Okay. He just threw it where they could find it. I mean, literally. Law enforcement found a component, just to disassemble, that'll help it. That really helps if you disassemble it. You're talking about somebody, this isn't even a good spy novel. This is a B-rated, horrible spy movie. Found components of disassembled Beretta 92 9mm semi-automatic handgun and at least 3 magazines strewn across the ground a few blocks from the Representative Hortman's home. Rounds contained in one or more of these magazines bore the same head stamp of the discharged cartridge casings found within or in the immediate vicinity of Representative Hortman's home. Records accessible to law enforcement indicate the Beretta was purchased by Bolter in or about January 20th. Go to the next one for me. In the same general area, law enforcement also found a flashlight, a tactical body armor vest, and a mask, all consistent with those Bolter can be seen wearing earlier in the morning. Go to the next one for me. According to records obtained by law enforcement, Bolter purchased 3 Beretta handguns, as well as other firearms. Now we're in section number 6. Subsequent investigation of Bolter's apprehension. So now they know who the guy is because it's basically unimaginable that they couldn't have found out. It's basically impossible for them not to know who it is because he's left every single possible shred of evidence for them to find to determine that he is, in fact, the suspect. So where the heck am I on my list here? All right, here we go. Okay. Yeah, there, here we go. All right. Law enforcement obtained information to track the locations of call phones known to be used by Bolter and his wife. Law enforcement used the resulting data to locate Mrs. Bolter. Go to the next one for me. Mrs. Bolter consented to law enforcement search of her phone. That search revealed that around 6:18 a.m., Mrs. Bolter and other family members received a group text message from Bolter. In the text, Bolter wrote, among other things, "Dad went to war last night. I don't want to say more because I don't want to implicate anybody." So if anybody has ever watched any sort of docuseries, either the suspect themselves or their co-conspirators are always written an email or always written a text message saying, "I know you don't know anything about this." Every time. Whenever there's a co-conspirator, they're always either wrote themselves a note or had somebody else write the note or sent themselves an email using somebody else's email account saying, "You don't know anything about it." Same thing's happening here. Same thing happened with his roommate. His roommate's got this long, detailed text message where twice in the text message, "You know nothing about this. You know nothing about this." And says the wife, "You don't know anything about it." Conveniently written to her. Around the same time, Mrs. Bolter received a text message from Bolter stating, among other things, "Words are not going to explain how sorry I am for this situation. There's going to be some people coming to the house armed and trigger happy. I don't want you guys around." Go to the next one for me. Did you switch it while I was looking?
Yeah.
Down? Okay. Yep. You guys are quick. Miss Bolter consented. I'm tracking it on a piece of paper too, if everyone's wondering why I'm looking down. Mrs. Bolter consented to a search of her car. From the car, law enforcement recovered, just, it's not suspicious at all, Aaron. Mm. Two handguns, approximately $10,000 in cash. You don't, Aaron, you carry 10 grand
all,
right?
all the time.
You carry 10
and
grand
two
around.
Handguns.
Everybody watching,
yes.
You carry two handguns
yeah.
around and 10 grand, don't
yeah,
you? I mean, I understand carrying concealed weapon, but 10 grand, wow, okay.
Yeah.
And passports
just in
for
case.
Herself and her kids. So she's got two guns, passport, and $10,000 worth of cash and passports for all of her kids who were in the car with her at what? At what time in the morning was that? Can you go back?
Six
o'clock in the morning. So it's 6 o'clock in the morning. She's in a car with $10,000 worth of cash.
Yep.
Passports for herself and all of her kids.
Yep.
And two handguns. Okay. Law enforcement, there's nothing to see here. This is just a MAGA crazy shooting Democrats. And by the way, Horton was suspected of wanting to change parties and had just voted against an immigration bill in the state house of Minnesota. So she was certainly not she was a leftist. I don't want to make it more than it was. She was a devout Democrat, but certainly not along the lunatic left side. So if you're going to pick somebody that you're really not going to lose anything by killing as a leftist masquerading as a MAGA person, that's the right one to kill. Law enforcement obtained cell phone information from multiple phones known to be associated with Bolter. The location data led law enforcement to a residence in Fremont Avenue in North Minneapolis. Law enforcement also found this Fremont Avenue address in Garmin's trip history, of course, described above. At the Fremont home, law enforcement encountered and interviewed a man who said he lives in the Fremont residence, and he explained, shares it with Bolter. Wait a minute, I thought he had a wife and all these kids. Why is Bolter living in a different house? At least part-time. Officers conducted a warranted search of the Fremont residence. Officers found a handwritten list of names containing many of those same public officials named in the notebooks found in Bolter's SUV described above. Go to the next one for me. Officers also found a purchase receipt from Fleet Farm dated about June 9th, 2025, which documented the purchase of, among other things, a flashlight, a tactical, they're finding receipts for everything? Well, this guy's a tactical genius. A tactical rifle case, two types of firearm ammunition, and the materials believed to have been used to create the fake police license plate. Remember the fake one? Looks like it was cut out with scissors. Places attached to Bolter's SUV. Law enforcement also found several notebooks, not a manifesto, again, just one notebook after another, but not a manifesto, containing handwritten notes. These notebooks were in addition to those recovered from the SUV. Among the pages of those various notebooks, officers found listed the names and often home addresses of numerous Minnesota public officials, including Representative Horman, one of the people Bolter shot and murdered on June 14th. Beneath her name, a notation reads, "Married Mark II, children 11th term." Mark was the name of Representative Horman's husband. Another notation in one of the recovered notebooks notebooks, names Horton, her address, and her spouse again, with the added, go to the next one for me, with the added notation, big house off golf course, two ways in to watch from one spot. This is an apt description of Hortman's home, which backs up to a golf course. Another notebook notation lists three websites for companies that sell face masks. Similar, this guy did a great job just covering this trail, didn't he? To the one Bolter wore. One of those websites describes itself as your premier destination for high-end, hyper-realistic silicone masks, which it certainly wasn't. Another of those websites asserts that it sets a new standard in hyper-realistic silicone masks. Go to the next one for me. In video footage from the area of the Fremont Avenue residence obtained by law enforcement, Belter can be seen returning. So he returned to his Fremont address. Now his wife and kids live in another address, which is very strange. This is starting to sound very Crooks-like.
Mm-hmm.
Is it not? Bolter can be seen returning to the residence in the morning after the murder. So he goes back to his home where he's sharing it with the one fat guy and some other roommate that we've yet to see. After his, which for some reason you have a married man with multiple children sharing a home with an effeminate fat man. But anyway, after his murder of the Hortmans, he goes back to his house and his shooting of the Hoffmans. According to an interview later conducted by law enforcement with Witness One at approximately 7 a.m., on June 14th, Belter met with Witness One at a bus stop on 48th Avenue North and North Lindale Avenue in North Minneapolis. Witness One reported to law enforcement that he had no prior connection with Belter prior to meeting at the bus stop. According to Witness One, Bolter had two duffel bags with him. Bolter asked to purchase an electronic bike from Witness One. After Witness One agreed, they together boarded a bus and traveled to Witness One's residence. After arriving at Witness One's residence, Bolter asked to purchase Witness One's Buick sedan as well. Witness One agreed. Around this time, Bolter and Witness One drove in the Buick to a U.S. Bank branch location in Robbinsdale, Minnesota, where Bolter withdrew $2,200. Go to the next one. There he is. He just so sad. I mean, let me mark myself for life with a giant cowboy hat. This is after the murder. He goes, and this security expert doesn't know that he's being caught on security cameras with a giant cowboy hat on. This is so McVeigh. Yeah, I mean, if you believe McVeigh blew up the Morrow building? Yeah. Is it the Morrow building?
I think so, in Oklahoma City.
Yeah. In Oklahoma City, you've lost your mind again. Please read the reports about it. It makes absolutely no sense. Timothy McVeigh did it and certainly didn't do it alone. From and thereby emptied an account in his name. Cameras at U.S. Bank capture Belter wearing the cowboy hat with it's amazing with some orange thing on it. Or is that just a light? I don't know. Go to the next one for me. Belter reportedly provided about $900 to Witness One to complete the purchase of the e-bike and Buick around 2:30 a.m. On June 15, law enforcement received information about a possible sighting of an individual riding an e-bike, basically in the same area that he murdered all these people. Let me just ride around an e-bike. Well, maybe with a cowboy hat on. Approximately 2 miles northeast of 2 miles from his own home in Green Island, Minnesota. However, law enforcement was unable to locate Belter at that time. Law enforcement investigated further and discovered the Buick that Belter purchased from Witness One abandoned on Highway 21, closest to the location of the e-bike sighting. Is there more? Or is that it?
No, there's a couple more. Yep.
Keep going. There we go. Law enforcement approached the vehicle. I've lost track of my whole page. So I might as well stop looking at it. Law enforcement, there's 32 of these slides. We're almost done. Law enforcement approached the vehicle using a drone to check for explosives or other potential safety concerns. Really don't need to worry about this guy. He wants to be caught. I believe, as Alex Jones says, that he was commanded to commit suicide and then chickened out at the last minute. A search of that vehicle uncovered, among other things, what appeared to be the cowboy hat.
Oh, my gosh. Dude.
Breadcrumbs. It's not even breadcrumbs. They're giant loaves of bread. Uh-huh. A search of the vehicle uncovered. I mean, Brent was a former, serious crimes detective. And, you dream of a case like this, how easy that would be solved.
Easy.
A search of that vehicle uncovered, among other things, what appeared to be the cowboy hat Belter wore when captured in the U.S. Bank. I'm surprised he didn't have pictures of himself murdering people in there for him to find also. Go to the next one for me. As well as handwritten letter directed to the FBI. In the letter, the writer, who claimed his name was Dr. Vance, like Vance Belter, Luther Bolton, admitted to being the shooter at large in Minnesota. So he writes a letter confessing to the crime in the car that they found. Involved in two shootings the morning of Saturday, June 15th. At approximately 9 9, 10 p.m. on June 15, 2025, law enforcement located Belter in a field in Green Island, Minnesota, approximately 1 mile from his own family residence. Oh, this is a master criminal right here, isn't it? Officers took Belter into custody. That's it, isn't it, guys?
Yeah.
There we go. Okay, there you go. So let's go to this Fast News Network's video. Here's one of his roommates. Play for me.
I love you guys. I made some choices, and you guys don't know anything about this, but I'm going to be gone for a while. Sorry.
Take your time.
Maybe dead shortly. So I just want to let you know that I love you guys both, and I wish it had gone this way. I don't want to say anything more and implicate you in any way, because you guys don't know anything about this. But I love you guys, and I'm sorry for all the trouble this has caused.
Can you talk about his politics a little bit? I know that you had some discussions. I just wanted to talk.
Well, everyone's calling him a Democrat. He's not a Democrat. He would be offended if people called him a Democrat. because of this board thing he was on for Governor Walz, it wasn't to serve. He was just serving the community. But he. I can't believe a political issue would cause him to do such a thing.
Did he ever bring up the senator or the representative who were targeted?
Like I was saying, no, he never talked about them. I didn't know those people. I didn't recognize their names.
Any politicians he mentioned?
Nancy Pelosi. Didn't like Jim Walz.
Tim Walz?
Didn't like Jim Biden.
Tim Walz? What would you say about him?
Well, I mean, nothing front. I mean, it's just normal. Oh, I don't like this, that Tim Walz did this. I don't like that they did that.
Did he mention the protests that were planned for yesterday?
He never mentioned the protests.
What do you make of everything that's happened here and the fact
maybe
that
I mentioned it to him, but I don't think he mentioned anything about
What would you tell him?
I would tell him to surrender himself so he can be taken alive, because he's like my best friend, so I don't want him to be killed. I don't want him to kill anyone else. You know, so I think if I saw him, I could talk him down. But you know, I don't know where he is.
All right, so there we go. I don't need to watch any more of that crap. But anyway, very conveniently, twice, you don't know anything about this. You guys, I love you too, and you know nothing about it. I love you too, and you don't know anything about it. And why does he love two guys that he lives with, and he's got a wife and kids in some other house? And the wife has a passport, $10,000 on her, passports for all the kids, and two handguns when she's confronted by the police. It's weird, which is kind of weird, isn't it? This is a false flag. This is a Democratic Party operation. This is a globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist operation, just like basically every other one. They're going to frame it as a MAGA attack on leftist officials. Absolutely not. This is a Tim Walz appointee. Okay, I've got a whole thing. I had the certificate, but it shows you. Everyone's seen it anyway online. But anyway, it's the Tim Walz appointee. I got a whole thing. Tim Walz, I've got a whole attack on Tim Walz, but it's 10:35. But maybe I'll do it tomorrow night. I love attacking Tim Walz. But anyway, that's just a giant false flag. This is a Democratic Party operation. There's no doubt about it. When I say Democratic Party operation, do I mean coming from the DNC? I'm talking about coming from leftist, globalist, bourgeois elitist. It is. That's what it is. So that they could finally, their narrative can be fulfilled that we're the violent ones. That's all it's about. All right, 10:35, that's it. Appreciate you guys. Rants tonight, Nate Dad won $100. Thank you so much, Nate Dad. Appreciate it greatly. Todd Suff, $10. Thank you so much, Todd. Appreciate you, brother. Thanks to everybody in the rant. Thanks to everybody in the chat. Stick around for the post game. It's really late. Love you guys. Stick around for it anyway because it's great. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. Love you all. God bless you.